were asked of Jesus and his answer to them, found in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we've been talking about Matthew 24:44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. One thing is for certain, one day Jesus is coming. And the prophecies that he made concerning himself are going to come true. We've been talking about the three questions of the Olivet Discourse. We've been talking about Matthew 24:1-3, when Jesus told them, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Immediately that stunned them. They asked him three questions. When shall these things be? In verse 3. In other words, when will all these stones be thrown down? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? When will you declare yourself as king and bring in your kingdom? And question number 3, and of the end of the world, when is the end of this age in which we're now living, when you bring in your kingdom on this earth and all the other kingdoms are diminished? So question number 1, when shall these things be? In other words, when will this temple be leveled? Question number 2, what shall be the sign of thy coming? What will happen to let us know you're about to establish yourself as king of the kingdom? And question number 3, what shall be the sign of the end of the world? And the word world is ion, it means age. How will you destroy the existing kingdoms to end this age? I've been presenting a case to prove to you that we were in the beginning of sorrows and that the tribulation period is not too far away. We've talked about the earthquakes, we've talked about the famines, we've talked about the pestilences. Jesus indicated in answer to question number 2, what shall be the sign of thy coming? What will happen to let us know you're about to establish yourself as king of the kingdom? That's the second question. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? In the Olivet Discourse, he told us in Matthew 24:7-8, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes. All these are the beginning of sorrows. I pointed out that he used for the God-breathed word sorrows, Odin, which means the birth pangs of a woman in travail. Those three phenomena, famines, pestilence, and earthquakes, have never followed the pattern of a woman's birth pangs, that is, to begin with a birth pang, continue, accelerate, and increase until the child comes. Never in history have earthquakes, famines, or pestilences followed that pattern. But now, for the first time in history, they're following that pattern. And in the first tape that we have, tape number 1, we talked about those three phenomena. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The God-breathed word for sorrows is Odin. Bios Odiates says, referring to the travail of pain of childbirth. Bullinger, the best old-time scholar, says a pain especially of a woman in travail. Just as when a woman experiences her first birth pang, everyone knows that more will follow. More and more with the passage of time, ever increasing numerically per unit time. So in essence, Matthew says there will be more and more earthquakes, ever increasing numerically per unit time. Matthew says there will be more and more pestilences, ever increasing numerically per unit time. He says there will be more and more famines, ever increasing per unit time. He indicated when these three phenomena begin to occur, he said, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, earthquakes, famines, and pestilences, know that it is near, that is, the coming of the Lord, even at the doors. He told us in Luke 21:11, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences. At the end of that chapter, in Luke 21:28, he told us, and when these things began, when they first start to happen, earthquakes, famines, and pestilences, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. He tells us in verse 31, so likewise ye, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. The reason I've gone so many places and done these lectures for so long is because for the first time in history, earthquakes, famines, and pestilences are following a woman's birth pangs. I showed you this chart that you look at on the screen here. From 1928 to 1948, there were 1,741 earthquakes, greater than one on the Richter scale. When Israel became a nation in 1948 to 1967, the next 19-year period, it increased to 32,789. From 1968 to 1986, the next 19-year period, it increased to 125,011. And it, just in a period of 13 years, not 19, from 1986 to 1999, we had 228,368 earthquakes, greater than one on the Richter scale. If that continues at the rate of 17,567 per year, which is the rate for that 13-year period, by the time this period ends in 2005, 1986 to 2005, a 19-year period, we will have had 333,769. And then I showed you this graph of a woman's birth pangs, showing you how from 1967 to 1999, there's been a steady increase, just like God's Son predicted. If it were just earthquakes, I would believe the Lord was coming. But it also happens to be both pestilence and famine. Luke 21, and 11. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences. When the Holy Spirit used this word for pestilence, he used the God-breathed word loimos. Loimos means any deadly infectious disorder. Any deadly infectious disorder. That would include something like cholera, something like bubonic plague, something like smallpox, something like diphtheria, something like infantile paralysis, something that was a deadly infectious disorder. Now, in all of history, we've had lots of deadly infectious disorders. But never have we had one that would continue to increase on a worldwide basis with seemingly no end. When smallpox epidemics would sweep across the country, they would kill a lot of people, then they would suddenly disappear and be gone for some time. Same has been true with diphtheria outbreaks, with typhoid outbreaks, with bubonic plague, with all these different types of deadly infectious disorders. Never in history had we had one that just came, affected men, continued to increase, did not just sweep through an area and end, but just kept on increasing, increasing, increasing. Because the earthquakes started to increase dramatically, somewhere in the 50s, I knew that the pestilence was not too far behind. However, I did not know what the pestilence would be. Well, finally, the pestilence reared its ugly head, and it first appeared in Africa. The first known victim of the disease, what we call AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome, which the pre-herald of is HIV, human immunodeficiency virus, the first known victim of the disease, a British sailor who had been to Africa, died in September 1959. AIDS began to appear in the United States, principally among homosexual men, in 1980. By 1982, the spread of the disease was recognized as a global epidemic. So when this reared its ugly head, I went out on a limb and I took a chance. What I did, I told people that this was the deadly infectious disorder. We'd never had anything like it before in all of history, at least not recorded. And so I took a chance. In 1981, I told people as I began to do these lectures all over the country, this is the deadly infectious disorder. This is going to increase like a woman's birth pangs. You're not going to find a vaccination for it. They're not going to find a cure for it. And it will continue virtually until the Lord comes. Now, because I was chicken, I qualified it. I said, I do not believe they will ever find a cure or vaccination for HIV. But I qualified it. I said, if they do, it will be at least 15 years, and by that time it will be too late. I didn't think they'd ever find one, but I wanted to qualify it in case eventually they did, and I knew if 15 years went by before they found one, it would be far too late, because by that time it would have already controlled most of Africa and the underdeveloped countries. Now, this is something that I got in 1993. It had global projections of HIV infection. It shows how they had been increasing ever since 1980. Over 50,000 East Europeans are thought to be infected now. A total of 14 million people are estimated to be infected worldwide. So in 1993, 14 million people were infected worldwide. This was the prognosis. Notice how it is increasing like a woman's birth pains. They predicted that by the year 2000, it would go above 30 million cases of HIV. These are the number of HIV cases on the earth. They predicted it would go above 30 million by the year 2000. Well, this is an accelerating thing. If you'll notice what they did, they just took the standard rate that had been occurring and they projected it on out. That way, by the year 2000, you would have had 30 million cases. But this is like a woman's birth pains. It's accelerating. In 1998, at the end of 1998, you already had well over 30 million cases of HIV. So this projection was wrong. It accelerated and was clean up here. By the time 1998 came around, it had already reached this level. So this is accelerating. It's following a woman's birth pains. It's doing just exactly what Jesus said. This is from HIV AIDS Infections, Newsweek magazine, on July the 12th, 1999. This report comes from the United Nations AIDS, comes from the World Health Organization, comes from the World Bank. As of January 1st, 1999, in other words, in 1998, we closed out that year where we were not supposed to have more than 30 million until the year 2000, but we closed out 1998 with 33,372,000 reported cases. And of these cases, 5,778,600 were new cases reported during 1998. Expensive drugs have eased the AIDS crisis in a wealthier country, but in poor ones, new infections and the death toll keep growing. So as you look at this, what I'm showing you, as far as I'm concerned, is the same thing that the Lord did when he sent Daniel with a warning to interpret what a finger had written on a wall before Belshazzar in the Babylonian kingdom. His finger suddenly appeared and wrote, "Meeni, meeni, tinkle, you farson," in Chaldean, which being interpreted means, "You are weighed in the balances and found wanting." I believe God is giving us an indication that his coming is very soon. I believe when you look at these earthquakes, you look at these pestilences, and we'll eventually look at famine, it's a definite indicator to you, whatever you intend to do with the Lord, for the Lord, or about the Lord, you better get at it. I mean, you had seriously better get at it. Now, there's preaching, and there's preaching, and then there's preaching. I'm warning you, and I'm very serious about it. Whatever you intend to do in your life, in your service for the Lord, you had better maintain at least the integrity you have, and preferably add to it and do more for the Lord than you're doing now. That's why I do these lectures. That's why I keep going. That's why I push myself. This isn't something that is just an idea with me. It's not just a hypothesis. It's not just a premise. It's something I know is true. Now, in Newsweek magazine, back in, what's the date on this thing? Ought to be up there somewhere. Let's see, December 2nd, 1996. December 2nd, 1996, after I had told people all over the country that they weren't going to find a cure for it, this came out in Newsweek magazine. The end of AIDS, right on the cover. Not yet, but new drugs offer hope. I went through this and I told people, look, this is not going to have a long-lasting effect. I told them pointedly. I said, this particular type of virus, it will find a way around it. This is not a cure for AIDS. The effects will stall the death rate, and people will stop dying in such large numbers, but it will not kill the infection, and it's just going to prolong the agony. People will live longer, but it's not going to cure AIDS. But how long will tomorrow last? Notice I warned people that if they found a cure, it would be at least 15 years. This is not the end of the plague. No one knows how long the positive effects will last. This is from the same Newsweek article in December of 1996. They won't help the developing world, which now amounts for more than 90% of all adult AIDS or HIV cases. This is why I knew that it would be too late for the developing world and too late to ever stop this epidemic. So this was in Newsweek magazine. A new attack on AIDS, triple threat, AZT, 3TC, and a protease drug, and everybody thought this was going to be the cat's meow. Well, I went out on a limb. I didn't go out on a limb on my own personal initiative. I didn't go out on a limb based on my own scientific expertise. I didn't go out on a limb at all for that reason. The Bible indicated there was coming a deadly infectious disorder upon man. I knew this was it. And because I knew this was it, I knew it had to continue to spread. Well, 1996 was a long time ago, over 3 years ago. Now take a look at this. This is from August 28, 1999. August 28, 1999, study. HIV cannot be eradicated from the body. I told people they would not be able to do it. Baltimore. HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, cannot be eradicated from a patient's body even when it is undetected by the blood, according to a study released Saturday by the National Institutes of Health. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm not a medical man. Oh, I have a doctor's degree, but it's not in medicine. And I certainly couldn't write you a prescription for penicillin. But I am a man who does know what the Bible says. And the Bible indicated that once this deadly infectious disorder started, it would continue. That's why I've made all these bold, daring statements for the last 21 years. It's based not on my scientific expertise, but on what the Bible says. Fossey and colleagues followed 18 HIV-positive patients who had been on the drugs for more than a year, and in whom HIV had been reduced to undetectable levels. The researchers then took the patients off the drugs to see if the virus came back. It did in all 18 patients within 3 weeks. That's what you call 100% effectiveness. It did in all 18 patients within 3 weeks. Now, the Lord indicated earthquakes would increase like a woman's birth pangs. He indicated this pestilence, this loimos, this deadly infectious disorder would do the same. It does tell us, given the currently available regimens that we have of antiviral drugs, we are not going to eliminate or eradicate the virus from individuals, Fossey said. The drugs cost an average of $15,000 annually, putting them out of the reach of most of the world's HIV-positive patients. It's interesting that many of those that were on this test didn't go back on the drugs because the side effects from it and the miserable life it was causing them to live, they just decided they'd go on and die. I'm telling you, when something like this happens, God gets people's attention. The reason that I knew that if they did develop one, it would be at least 15 years, and I didn't think they'd really develop one, but I put that in as a qualifier because I was checking. I knew it would take at least 15 years. I didn't think they'd find one then, but I thought, well, if they do, it'll be too late. Here's why. The global epidemic. AIDS is tightening its grip on the developing world where the costly new drugs won't do much good at all. Notice this graph. Alarming growth, people living with HIV/AIDS worldwide in millions. Notice how it started off, and notice how it has accelerated, increasing like a woman's birth pains. This went right on up through 1996. In 1996, when they supposedly found this cure, you can see how much it had accelerated. The number of developing cases has continued to accelerate. The number of people dying has dropped. At least it hasn't accelerated. It's dropped because they are prolonging life longer, but the number of people being infected is actually increasing. They have not found a cure for the virus. Why did I say it would be too late? The new combination therapies are of little use to 90% of the people suffering from the disease. In Africa, India, Thailand, to a growing extent, Central and Eastern Europe, the treatment's price tag of up to $20,000 a year puts it way beyond the grasp of all but the super rich. With this discovery, the age gap only becomes wider. Now, you're going to see stuff like this all the time. For 21 years, and all these churches I've gone to, every time one of these articles comes out anywhere, somebody gives me a call, and they say, well, Brother McMurray, I thought you said they weren't going to find a vaccination. Here's an article by Jennifer Vaughn, Associated Press writer. Tests now underway for AIDS vaccine. They have been trying to develop a vaccine for this for ages, and they have not been able to. Why was I so sure they would not be able to develop a vaccination for it? Well, the main reason is I believe that when the earthquake started, the pestilence had to start not too long after that. I didn't know what it was. But once this HIV started, it identified itself. And I said, they won't find a vaccination. They won't find a cure. But why was I so sure from a secondary standpoint? When you develop a vaccination or a vaccine for immunity, if it's just a single virus, you work on that single virus and everything goes fine. But from the very beginning, or at least in the early stages, I knew that this particular type of strain was a type that was a virus that had the ability to develop and break itself into many different types of mutants. I taught high school biology for years. Time magazine, March 20th, 1995, chronicles. This is before they ever came out in 1996 and said they had found this new triple threat that they'd hoped would eliminate. So on March 20th, 1995, this came out, and it was something that I knew and had known for some time. Scientists have long thought that an HIV vaccine would have to protect against at least 8 different strains of the virus. That was the problem. This was 8 strains in 1995. So it has the ability to mutate itself and to turn into other strains. So we had 8 in 1995 already. Scientists have long thought that an HIV vaccine would have to protect against at least 8 strains of the virus. New research suggests that even some of these subtypes can combine with each other to create new strains, further complicating efforts to find a vaccine. You'd have to find a vaccination for each one of these particular strains. Not just one of them, but each one separately. So that's why I felt certain that they wouldn't find one. Over the past 15 years, scientists have identified at least 10 subtypes of the AIDS. The findings underscore how rapidly HIV can adapt to its surroundings, making it devilishly difficult to develop effective vaccines. No one knows how many more subtypes of HIV will sprout in the next 40 years, but chances are they will be every bit as lethal as we see today, if not more so. This was in 1998. We had 10. How many do we have now? 12 and growing. Now, it amazes me how many people look at all this and say, that sure is interesting. But in their daily life, it has absolutely no effect whatsoever. What do you want from God? You want Jesus to make a personal appearance and manifest himself and say, I'm coming soon? This is what he said he would do. This was the sign of his coming. It's here. If there ever was a time you need to make a commitment of your life to God after you become his child, it's now. More than 30 million people are infected with one of these 10 subtypes of HIV. Actually, there are 12 subtypes now. In addition to that, some of these subtypes are weirdos. Each one of these articles, for those of you that are listening on the tape, are from Newsweek magazine, from Time magazine, or from U.S. News and World Report, or from the World Health Organization. This material I'm showing you is not from something I just made up. Now, a scary strain of drug-resistant HIV. A mood of new realism at the global conference. We've got new strains now that we've never seen before. Researchers express frustration over stubborn pools of HIV that hide out from drugs and patients' immune cells and lymph tissues. Perhaps the most chilling news was the emergence of multi-drug resistant strains of HIV. Doctors aren't surprised that patients on protease inhibitors, which have been widely used over the last 2 years, are developing resistant forms of the virus. Last week, Swiss researchers reported that 6 out of 57 newly infected patients they studied had contracted a type of HIV already resistant to at least one protease inhibitor. At the University of California, San Francisco, researchers identified one patient never before treated with drugs who was resistant to all 4 currently available protease inhibitors as well as to 2 older medications, 3TC and AZT. Now, here's what amazes me. I know Jesus is coming soon. I mean, it's a sure thing. Because he's shown us very clearly. How can people that I have shown this to, and God has put this stuff out for them, how can they resist committing their life to the Lord? And how can they treat the church with such callousness? It amazes me. It absolutely amazes me. It's almost like this is some kind of a fairy tale. This isn't a fairy tale. This is reality. I'm not only a saved, God-called preacher. I'm a cold, objective scientist. And I tell you as both, there's no question the Lord is coming. And soon. Arkansas Democrat Gazette, September 22nd, 1999. Drug-resistant AIDS strains on the rise. Highly drug-resistant strains of the AIDS virus are on the rise, showing up in as many as 4.5% of newly infected patients in two new studies. So now they're getting some kind that won't even take the AZT. African killer. Shirley brought me this, and it's an interesting article. African killer. AIDS has surpassed armed conflict as the number one killer in Eastern and Southern Africa, where the disease claimed 1.4 million lives last year, the United Nations Children's Fund said. The pandemic has left 6 million children orphaned in the region. Notice, North Korean famine could be among the century's worst. We'll get to famines eventually, but right now I'm simply covering pestilence. More than 30 million people now are infected with HIV, and almost 90% of them live in the developing countries of Asia and Sub-Saharan Africa. Worldwide, 16,000 people are newly infected with a virus every day, a figure twice as large as previous estimates. And here you see the number of cases worldwide. The truth of the matter is, we are losing the battle. Cover of Time magazine. Losing the battle. Mysterious non-HIV cases emerge. The search for a cure stalls. Infection among women grows. This is interesting. The Courier, Russellville, Arkansas, Thursday, September 16, 1999. News brief. Africa AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Africa AIDS, killing field. Lusaka, Zambia. AIDS, not war, has turned Africa into a killing field and will wipe out enough adults to create 13 million orphans in the next 18 months, the United Nations Children Agency said Wednesday. Last year, AIDS killed 2 million Africans, outstripping deaths from armed conflicts on the continent, 10-to-1 ratio, said the Children's Fund called UNICEF. In 15 years, AIDS has killed 11 million Africans. So as you look at these pictures here, and you see what's causing the earthquakes, and you see what's causing the pestilence, and you realize that the tribulation period is not too far away, and that we're in the beginning of sorrows, and that there's coming a millennial reign and a final heaven age, I don't think there's any excuse for us not starting to try and serve God in the way that we should. AIDS treatments losing effectiveness. Why was I so confident that this had to be the pestilence? Because the earthquakes began, and God's word indicated there would be three phenomena: earthquakes, pestilence, and famine. Why was I so confident the famines had to start increasing? Because the Bible said so. But I also knew there would be a world population explosion. Now, Lord willing, next Sunday morning, I'm going to deal with the other types of pestilence, loimos, that are infecting the globe. There's been an increase in virtually every category of infectious disease. So for now, I'll go ahead and close. We're going to take a short break, and I'll begin right where I left off here, Lord willing, next Sunday during Sunday school.